Now that we are on the other side of this and we're now beginning to really process the implications of what's happening, there are two really, really important questions that need to be answered. We know that there are crews that are out and they're doing the best that they can to, embark on a recovery mission to try to recover the six individuals that are now presumed to be deceased. And while that's going on, we now know that the National Transportation Safety Board has boarded the ship. They are in the process of recovering the black box to get information about this. And you've got the investigation component of this, which according to the NTSB may take up to 2 years. So we'll probably get some preliminary results maybe in a month or so. But the full investigation will take a very, very long time, and for good reason. And then there's also what comes next, right? How do we get, shipping traffic into the Port of Baltimore again? So when do we get that area cleared? When do we get the bridge back, and how does that impact things? So there's a lot of moving pieces that have to take place at once. And right now, I'm actually rather interested in the investigation side of this. What does an investigation like this look like? How do we get down to, how things happened, and, what happens at the end of all of that? Well, joining us is attorney Jonathan Shakur from Shakur, Staten, Goldberg, and Cardea. It's a law firm in Baltimore. And thanks so much for joining the program. And I guess right now, a lot of people are interested in the investigation. A lot of folks have been telling us, Mr. Shakur, that the investigation can take up to 2 years. What are some of the components of how this is going to be looked at?
Thank you for having me. This will be a long, drawn-out affair. The closest thing we have to this bridge catastrophe is the damage that was done in Tampa, Florida, years ago when a similar occurrence happened. That took a two-year investigation. There will be many areas of investigation. We know that the ship, and to give your listeners an idea, this ship is 984 feet long, 187 feet wide, came out of the port with two tugs on her to guide her. And what they do is they come out of the port and they spin the ship and get her into the channel. And then the tugs departed. So the first issue is, why did the tugs depart? If the tugs stayed with the ship, there are some who believe, and this is all conjecture, I will say, this is all speculation and opinion at this point, that those tugs could have helped manipulate the ship through the channel without hitting the bridge. That's area one. Area two, investigation area two, is the ship lost power when it was in the channel. It was proceeding at 8 knots at that point, which is 9 miles an hour, and they lost power. And we could see that on the video. Any of your listeners watching the video can see the lights go out, mm-hmm. then the lights flicker back on, and then there's this huge black smoke coming out of the rear funnel. And they put out a mayday, and it was about 4 minutes and 23 seconds later that the ship hit the bridge. And the mayday came at approximately 1:25 a.m. They lost power. The question is, why did they lose power? Why did the ship just leaving port lose power so early or any time? And what did they do when they lost the power? Well, we know that this is a single screw ship, meaning one propeller, has a huge engine in it, a diesel twin stroke. What did they do when they lost the power? Well, we know that a ship needs headway, needs to be moving forward for steering. This ship obviously lost its capacity to steer. And one of the areas of investigation is why. Why did it lose power? Why did it lose its rudder? Most of these ships have redundant systems, meaning more than one system. If one fails, the other helps. Most of these ships have backup generators. What happened with the backup generator if it had one? It obviously didn't appear effective. And what did they do when they lost power? Well, some observers have said that they dropped the port anchor. So this ship has two anchors, one on each side, port and starboard. And some observers have said, not confirmed, that they dropped the port anchor. And some observers thought, not confirmed, that they tried to back down. What does back down mean, listeners? It means you put this thing in reverse and try and slow it.
I want to pause you real quick because I just want to remind our audience we're speaking with Attorney Jonathan Shakur, and you know there's going to be a lot of things that folks are going to be looking into with this investigation. Your team has actually been involved in investigations like this. I suppose obviously NTSB is going to be doing their investigation. When your team is involved, what is the purpose of an investigation? Like, when would your team be brought in to do an investigation like this?
Probably maritime lawyers. I'm not a maritime lawyer, but I'm a litigator for 50 years. Probably to put together, to assemble the data that the National Transportation Safety Board, the Coast Guard, and others amass. There's a black box on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Is similar to aircraft. That will give the exact timing. We have some of the timing from the video. They will do the investigation over a year or two. They will reach conclusions. What I'm doing now is raising insights about what the investigation may encompass, may include.
Got it.
So you got a ship coming out, you got them going 8 knots, 9 miles an hour, they lose power. That we can see on the video. It appears from some observers they dropped a port anchor. Some observers believe that they tried to back down, put this thing in reverse. That may have corkscrewed the ship. Not to get into the weeds, that may have twisted the ship.
Right.
But
to your point, a lot of that is, these are things that NTSB will be able to confirm in their investigations, correct?
Yes. They're also going to investigate the fact that in June of 2023, this ship was in Chile.
Yes.
And it was inspected and found to be deficient with respect to propulsion, which is what they lost, and auxiliary systems. That was in June of 2023. In the interest of being complete, in September of 2023, the ship was inspected somewhere in the United States and cleared. But I see that as an investigator, meaning a litigator looking at this. If they had propulsion problems in June of 2023 flagged by those inspecting the ship in Chile, what remedial actions were taken? Who fixed this thing, if it needed anything? And how well was it remedied? You know, what happened? We don't know. It's a red flag. It's another area of investigation.
Yeah, and to your point, and you know, a lot there will be a lot of questions about safety protocols. You know, how response, even some of the things that you reference. What do you do if you lose power? Things like that. Is there any precedent, at least here in this area, like has anyone ever even considered this as a possibility, you know, that a system may fail and, you know, inflict catastrophic damage on any structure, including the bridge? Is this something that's even been explored yet?
I do not believe so. I think that, we're looking at a bridge that was built in the early 1970s, probably opened in 1977. It's been there for 46 years. If your listeners and you can imagine back, what did ships look like in the 1970s?
Yeah. They much smaller, yeah.
Like yeah. They didn't look like this behemoth, this huge thing. And so one of the questions for investigation, again, that's all I'm raising,
mm-hmm.
is what protective barriers did they have on the key bridge to protect those abutments, those pylons, from being struck by a ship of that size? And the answer is, from those who have observed, nothing significant.
Yeah. Okay.
There are barriers that can be erected to protect these critical pylons, these abutments, from being struck. They're called dolphins. You know, I'm not going to get into the weeds with you folks, but they're called dolphins. They're cable systems. There are artificial islands where you build an artificial island. It's 50 feet of water there. Build an artificial island and put these huge buffers on top of it that would stop or at least slow one of these ships from taking out the abutment and therefore destroying the bridge. Well, when you build a bridge in 1970 and you're looking now at 2024 here, did anybody make improvements to those buffers to save the bridge? And the answer is, for investigation, no. They weren't there. We didn't see them. The observers didn't see them. So that's another issue.
Yeah.
How was the bridge protected? Was it updated? Did people 46 years later realize these ships are about 2-3 times the size? What do we do to protect them?
Well, so your perspectives are very, like, so I think one thing that I have, one major thing that I've taken away is I know I balked a little when the NTSB said it could take up to 2 years for this investigation, but I'm sure that just with what you've described so far, that's just not even scratching the surface of every aspect of this investigation, which is why, it could take an extremely long time to get to the bottom of this. And then before we let you go, once an investigation is concluded and once they get all the facts and the final report is done, what happens after that, right? Does this turn into legislation? Do our conversations had with the ships and the operators? What's the aftermath typically after an investigation like this is concluded?
Well, depending listeners and sorry, what the investigation reveals and proves, there will be litigation, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. We lost the bridge. God bless President Biden. He said he's going to replace the bridge for all of us Marylanders. The port is closed due to the channel being, full of debris. The port is losing $15 million a day. The state is losing $1.5 million a day in taxes. Mm-hmm. This is going to be an enormous financial disaster. First and foremost, obviously, the disaster, and our hearts go out to those who have been hurt and killed in this. But putting that aside just for the moment, for sake of discussion, there's a huge economic loss. What is this bridge going to cost to replace? And who is going to pay for it? The bridge was $110 million in 1977. Today's numbers are $356 million with inflation. I just checked it out to replace it. I bet it's more. Who's going to pay for the bridge?
Yeah. Well,
and who's going to pay for the $15 million a day that the port loses while this port is closed?
Well, look, and you're highlighting a number of things that our federal, our Congress is going to need to look at. I'm sure that our legislators in Annapolis are going to look at. Thanks so much for, weighing in on some of these issues, and we'll have to keep an eye. I think one of the biggest things I take away is that this is going to take an extremely long time. So thanks so much for your insights, and we'll be keeping an eye out to see what comes next. Thanks, Mr. Shakur, for your insights.
Thank you, Tori. Thank you, listeners.
All right. That is Jonathan Shakur. He's a litigator with Shakur, Staten, Goldberg, and Cardea. It's a law firm in Baltimore. And, like, I